This morning, I'm going to kind of continue on what I was speaking about last week. I wanted the church to be familiar with doctrine. Doctrine is so important. And the Bible tells us that we're to know God's word. We're to know doctrine, what the Bible teaches. A lot of churches are getting away from that today. But we want to talk about different things that's important. Last week, several things we talked about was the fact that we believe the Bible is inspired word of God. Without a doubt, this is God's word. I believe it. I believe it. I know it's true. We talked about also you had to be born again. These are doctrines that are necessary. You need to believe that. One day I might not be here. Next preacher you get, make sure he believes stuff like this. Now today I'm going to be talking about you need to believe this. This is high on the list too. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believing in the resurrection. You believe Jesus Christ really died on the cross? You really believe he literally arose from the dead? You believe that? You believe a man that was dead actually got up after being dead 3 days? If you're going to be saved, you better believe it. In Matthew 28, 5 through 7, the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quick and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead." Now, you talk about some brokenhearted people, some discouraged people, some people that were confused, some people that didn't know what in the world was going on and what to do. That was the disciples and these women. And here they come here to finish anointing his body on early Sunday morning. They knew he was dead. They knew he was dead. He was dead. He was really dead. And the first thing they hear is not here. And the first thing they thought was somebody's to come and stole the body. They think he's still dead. Yet Jesus had told them over and over and over he was going to go and suffer and die and rise again. And somehow, you remember what our Sunday school lesson was about today? Huh? He kept telling them, but who was listening? Who was listening? And so, he's not here. He's risen. Jesus Christ really was dead on that cross. He really did die. But God Almighty raised him up. And the reason God raised him up, because Jesus Christ had fulfilled the law of God. He had obeyed God. And that's the proof he had obeyed God. God raised him. There are many verses in the Bible that state that Jesus arose from the dead after his crucifixion. Many verses. And he was seen at one time by one group of 500 people. 500 people didn't see ghosts. They saw Jesus Christ alive after he had arisen from the dead. And of course, all the disciples saw him. And the women saw him. Yes, Jesus Christ really died. But God raised him up. In 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. And here is the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, died for our sins. He died according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. They put Him in a borrowed tomb. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible had foretold that that was going to happen, church. And lo and behold, it took place just like the Bible said it would. Folks, if you'll listen to some of the good preachers that we know about, people that know this old book, they can tell you about how this book is being fulfilled right before our eyes today. I don't know where we'll get home or not before the rapture takes place. That's how soon it could take place. Because the Scriptures are being fulfilled. Israel's back in her land. Jerusalem is the city, the capital. And our president is the one that made it official about Jerusalem. The temple, the materials, the robes, the utensils, have already been prepared to build that temple during the tribulation time that's going to happen right after the rapture. They've already got it done. The priests have been trained. Folks, it's getting close. The nations of the world are lining up. That group is supposed to. And I'm going to preach on that next Sunday, the Lord willing, if it hadn't got us by then. The nations is coming with Russia is already lining up with her. This is the gospel we're to preach, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the only way to be saved. In 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 22 through 22, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them which slept. For since by man came death, by man came all the resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ is the first fruits. He got up of Himself out of that tomb. Isn't that amazing, folks? Jesus Christ was God Himself. He got up out of that grave. He said, if you believe in Me and My resurrection, one day you will live also. What a hope we have. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All that believe in Christ. Thank God for the hope we have of living forever with our great God and Savior. Folks, I lay in the bed at night, and this morning from 3 o'clock till the time I got up, I laid there, I couldn't go back to sleep, thinking about living forever. How it's going to be. No more problems. No more problems. No health issues. Won't that be something, folks? Won't that be something? The Bible teaches another doctrine, the decline of the church age. The decline. In 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, listen, how it's going to be in the last days. And you just look around and see if this doesn't fit it to the T. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. In Baltimore yesterday, last night, there was 5 killed in Baltimore. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Have you ever seen the beat in your life? Without natural affection. Could y'all believe a mama would have her baby killed in her own room? Could y'all believe such? Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, that's it, isn't it? Lovers of pleasure. Having a form of godliness. Do you hear that Sunday school lesson this morning Johnny taught? Only one out of four was saved. Didn't that go along with what Jesus said? The broad road and the narrow road? He said only a few is going to be saved, ratio population-wise. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? And yet we got the Word of God to tell us about it, how to be saved. And the world's not listening. They got all kind of other interests that's so important. What will a man give his for his soul? Oh, he's so excited about this life that he's got now. That's going to soon be gone. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The present division we have in our country today, the restlessness of the nations of the world, are indicators of the end of the age. The nuclear chemical weapons, the riots, the anger, the hate, their immorality, the killing, the robbing, the confusion are all indicating the end of the age must be near. And this coming week, you know what they're going to do with our president? They can't find a crime, so they're just making up some. That's what we just read a while ago. It says that, if I can find it right quick, false accusers. They've accused him of something he hadn't even did. They're going to have a trial this week. They've already impeached a man. You think we're not close to the end of this age, folks? I'm just telling you. In Luke 17, beginning at verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, we know this, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What's it saying? People just going about their normal everyday activities, thinking nothing, just what I got to do today, what I'm going to do today, and suddenly the flood got them. That's the way it's going to be happening at the rapture. People's going to be saying, well, I got to go here, and I got to go there, I got to do this. But none of them got to get ready to meet the Lord. That's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes. But the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. We're living when transgender sex is popular now. Homosexuals and lesbians and perverts and all gutter sexual activities are getting to be accepted by our society today. And that, again, is a signal of the end of the age. This world is rotten. And you know what? Taxpayers are paying for it. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, unto the church of Laodicea, write these things, Jesus said. These things saith the Lord, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot, Jesus said. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. The modern day church, as I understand it, makes God sick. The modern day church makes the Lord sick. Let's look at another subject, the rapture of the church we've just been talking about. I show you a mystery, Paul said. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Won't that be something? There's going to be a generation of Christians living that's not going to die. Wonder what kind of feeling we'll have. I'm saying we're going to have it, amen. When you're standing or walking or doing and you're natural and suddenly you're no longer natural, you're glorified. That's how fast it's going to take place. Woo! We're going to have a body transformed, glorified. And the Bible says, the trumpet of sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Think about all the cemeteries that's going to burst open. I don't know that the ground will explode, but I think the bodies will come up out of it. Think about all the cemeteries. There ain't no telling how many people's dead where this church is at. They'll come up. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. We got a corruptible body. You let your body get infected a little bit and you see how it starts to decay and get infected. It's a corruptible body. But we're going to get an incorruptible body that won't be like that. Won't that be something? I can't hardly touch anything with my arms or my upper body but what I don't bruise bad. I was at went with Faye to where's that place we go to eat sometime?
Cracker Barrel.
I went there I believe it was Monday we went out there. Anyway, when I sit down at the table, somehow or another, I just happened to hit my hand on the edge of the table. I just bumped it, and I felt that pain. I said, it'll be blue in a minute. Sure enough, there it was. That's a corruptible body. One day we're going to get a body, it won't bruise. It won't hurt. I forget who sang it. It won't hurt anymore, you know. Remember that? We're going to get a body like that. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Going to live forever. Think about it. You're going to live forever. Amen. And there's not going to be any fear, threats, anything to discourage you. It's too good to be true, isn't it? Boy, I tell you what, I bet we'd be happy. Don't y'all reckon we'll be happy? Oh, yeah. Are you going to be happy in heaven?
Amen.
Mr. Chavis, you going to be happy at heaven, son?
Amen.
Great day in the morning. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, then this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In heaven there's not going to be any more death. No dying. And it won't be anywhere else either, except in hell. People will be eternally in a state of dying, separated from God. Only the truly saved believers are going to be raptured, though. only to save. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those believers since Pentecost has died will be the first ones up. And then simultaneously we're going to be raised up. And the Greek has it, we'll go up in rank. We won't go up like a scattered bunch of people out of unorganized. We'll go up in rank like soldiers marching. We'll go up. God's a God of order, folks. Isn't that amazing? But when we get to heaven, you talk about everything in order. Woo! I better have to take my shoes off. Amen? Amen? It's going to be a place of order. And all true Christians will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. All true Christians. For we must all appear. He's talking about all we Christians. We got to be judged. The Lord's going to examine all of us. All of our sins has been paid for. We're not going to go face sin. Our sins is washed away. Amen? Don't that make you feel good? But we're going to stand there to be judged to see, what have I done for the Lord since he saved me? How faithful have I served the Lord? Bible says some's going to stand there ashamed. They didn't live like they should have as a Christian. Not going to get many rewards. Some will probably not get any rewards. Some will need a wheelbarrow to haul all theirs, won't they? Amen? Y'all out there? Amen. Praise the Lord. The saved at the beam of judgment, but the unsaved will be at the great white throne judgment at a later date. The unsaved of all ages. Think about 6,000 years of people unsaved. Whole nations of people unsaved at the great white throne judgment. And not a single one of them will be saved. But they're going to have to give an account for all their life, all their opportunities they had to get saved, all the deeds they did. And everything an unsaved man does is sin. An unsaved man does not do anything but sin. If he breathes God's oxygen, he's sinning. Why? Because he's separated from God. People don't realize that. Oh, I'm a good person. I'm as good as him at the church. Not according to the Bible. Because all you're doing is sinning. You're even judging God's people. Sinning. And they're going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. And then they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. And guess who's in the lake of fire with them? The devil and the demons and all the proverbs, murderers, whoremongers, the godless of 6,000 years, all together screaming. Remembering, I could have went to church. Somebody invited me to church and I wouldn't go. Their memory will taunt them for eternity. Let's talk about something else. Christ is coming back at his second coming. I know there are many who do not believe this, but Jesus is coming again. It was predicted he would come the first time and he came. And the Bible teaches he's coming again. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, There you might be also. Won't that be something, folks? He's over there right now working on my room. Amen. Amen. And when he gets it ready, he's coming. Yes. And while they looked steadfastly towards him as he went up, listen to this. Get this picture in your mind this morning. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Jesus would walk out to go back to heaven to be with the Father. 40 days after his resurrection. And which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Acts 1, 10 and 11. That's talking about the second coming. It's not talking about the rapture. This is the second coming. When he comes at the end of the tribulation time. But that's when all eyes will see him. At the rapture, no one won't see him except those of us that's called up to be with him. The Bible says in Revelation 19, and I saw heaven open. Imagine heaven opening up. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was faithful and true. And in righteousness he judged and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written no man knew but he himself. He's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19, 11 through 14. Jesus will come back bodily and visibly and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, in Israel. That's going to happen. That'll happen at the end of the seven-year tribulation, which means 7 years from today, Jesus could come back if the rapture take place now. But all believers in Jesus Christ will be saved and will be with the Lord when he comes back. John describes that in Revelation 19 further on. Let's look at this, the great white throne judgment. The Holy Scriptures are clear. There's going to be a final judgment. Judgment for all the unsaved who lived upon this earth. I touched on it a while ago. This judgment determines what each person did, each word they said, each thought they had, even their intentions, and the opportunities they had to be saved that they all rejected. You know, the Bible says this, that the heavens declare the glory of God. Everybody can see there's a God. And you should seek to know this God. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Folks, you better be afraid of God. Better be afraid to sin against him. And keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With everything, whether it be good or whether it be evil. See, God's keeping a record of everybody. Everybody. The Bible says there's books in heaven. The Apostle John describes that last judgment. I saw a great white throne, and he that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. The white throne will be so awful, so horrible. The Bible says heaven and earth will even flee away from it. It's going to be such an awful judgment. You're going to hear some praying at the white judgment. Begging, pleading. It won't do no good. Too late. Too late. There comes a time when it gets too late to pray. God even told Jeremiah not to even pray for his people. Boy, it's bad when it gets that bad, isn't it? Gets too late. The Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were all judged, every man, according to his work. That man in Luke 16, he'll be brought out of that place of torments and brought to the great white throne judgment. Now, he's been wanting water and torments. Now, he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone to spend eternity. The Bible says the devil's deceiving people out of their soul. Each person will be on their own without a lawyer to represent them when they go to the great white throne judgment. Won't be no slick lawyers. Hey, you know, they're going to be there too. Many of them. Everything about this earth life will be exposed to determine the suffering the lake of fire for each one that goes there will experience. At the great white throne judgment, there will be such terror, the screams of fear, as they will see their doom awaiting them. They will be begging, pleading, praying. I suspect we'll be there as witnesses. And you know, they may even look at us and say, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Just a thought. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. With all these proud, rebellious, arrogant, godless sinners will be trying to justify their action, but to no avail. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10:29, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God. You didn't think Jesus Christ was important. You rejected him and what he did for you. And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherein he was sacrificed an unholy thing, and hath done spite unto the Spirit of grace. Folks, God is going to take vengeance on people that rejected his Son, that suffered the way his Son took and suffered. The unbelievers, the atheists, the scoffers, the agnostics will be forever damned. God means business. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth one day. That's a great doctrine, isn't it? A new heaven, new earth. The pollution of the air and the water will be a thing of the past one day. Crime and suffering and death will be no more, is the promise of our great God. Won't that be great? Isaiah the prophet spoke of a new heaven and a new earth. First of all this present heaven and earth is going to pass away. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3, 8 and 10. One of these days, sometime in the future, the distant future, this earth and the heavens are going to be melted down. Isaiah wrote in 63:17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not even be remembered anymore, nor come to mind." Won't even think about this world anymore. Won't even remember it. Won't that be something? The Apostle John also spoke of a new heaven and a new earth. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Only those redeemed from their sins by faith in the blood of Jesus are going to enjoy eternity with the Lord. The new heaven and new earth will never be polluted with sin and death." Boy, that's a great promise and a great truth to know, that when we get to heaven and we're with the Lord, nobody's going to ever mess up once we get there. Isn't that a great truth to know? Amen. Nobody's going to mess up. Adam messed up in this world because of his wife. You look in the Bible, the wives had a problem messing up. But it ain't going to happen in the new one. You better quit grinning over there. Amen? It's not going to happen in the new one. Nobody's not going to mess up. Boy, that's a comfort, ain't it? Just think about this. What if there's a possibility one person could mess up and it would be me? That's what's scary. But nobody's going to mess up because we got eternal life. Amen? Eternal life. One last point I'd like to talk about quickly. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. It's not the city over yonder that's over there now, but this is a heavenly new Jerusalem. "I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." That's going to be a sight to behold, folks, about a 1,400 mile square or cube city that's glittering like a diamond this world has never seen before, with the glory of God coming down. That's our home. Woo! What a city that's going to be. "And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he's going to dwell with them, and he'll be their people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Think about this. I didn't get to live in the day when Jesus walked here, and you didn't either. We'd love to have seen him, wouldn't we? Like the disciples and others saw him. But one day, we're going to spend eternity with him. And he won't ever have to scold us then. Amen. Like he did Peter. Yeah. Yeah, "God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to John, write it down. I want everybody to know about it." Praise God, it's in the Word of God. Amen? Some preachers teach that all the saved of all ages will live in this city, and the angels too. I heard a preacher say that the other day, that everybody that's saved, everybody And all the angels, too, is going to live in that city. I don't find the Bible teaching that, but, you know, I'm not no scholar. That city is the home of the bride, and the church is the bride. And I think there's different groups of people. There's the people before the flood that's saved. They'll have a place. And if you'll read in the Bible, you'll see that there's other nations on this new earth. The Bible says in Revelation 21:24, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it." There's going to be nations walking in the light of our home, the new Jerusalem. That's the way I see it. The Bible said it. "And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." We're in the city. They're on the earth. I mean, that's the way my Bible reads. I'm going to stay with what the Bible says, okay? "And the gates of it shall not be shut all day, for there shall be no night there." What you going to have gates for if people can't go in and out? Right? I'm going to still stay with the Bible, okay? "And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it." The nations are going to be producing glory and honor for the Lord, and people are going to be coming into it. That's the way my Bible reads. I'm going to stay with it. Amen? It's true that we have little to no information about eternity other than we will be with our God and Savior forever. Boy, we'll be learning forever. And it'll all be exciting and wonderful, won't it? Yeah. What all we will be doing there, I don't know. I know we'll be worshiping, praising the Lord. I know we'll do that. We'll be serving the Lord. But I don't know where you'll get to go fishing or not, Tommy. Amen. Because I don't think going to be anything dying in heaven with the Lord. I'm sure God will have an exciting and glorious future for all of us. There'll never be any drudgery. You ever had someone to tell you to do something? "Oh, I just dread it." Yeah. "Got to go sucker backer today, boys." Oh, my goodness. Y'all know what I'm talking about, drudgery? Hey, the hogs need some slop. Take them some slop. That's bad, but that ham was good, amen? There'll never be drudgery or boredom. You won't ever be bored in heaven. Amen? Yeah. But you'll be happy all the time. In chapter 21 of Revelation, Apostle John tells us of the home of the bride. It's going to be a glorious city. "He carried me away. Let me see that city. What a city. What a place to live in forever. The city of God, prepared for the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's worship Him and praise Him and love Him and serve Him. What a Savior that would save sinners. That would save sinners like we are. We're so blessed. Do you know how blessed you are? You know how blessed you are? Let's don't forget to thank the Lord for blessing us with salvation. Loving God, thank you for this day, this opportunity. If we try to share the Word of God with our people here today to instruct them in the doctrines of the church, the teachings of the Word of God, the hope we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Bless each one. Meet the needs of each one. You know, Lord, all of our needs and situations. And we just thank you and love you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This time, our altar's open. You want to come talk to the Lord today? You want to come praise Him and thank Him for the hope we have in Jesus Christ? Well, we invite you to come and pray today. Give thanks unto the Lord.